Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, coming to you from Kenya today, having a beautiful sunny day. And today we poured a big cement pour out at the Shamba. We're making a baptistry, so we don't have to go down to the creek every time we want to be have a baptismal service or ceremony. And so we started today pouring the baptistry. We ran out of all the cement that we had mixed up, and so tomorrow we'll finish it up, and we're going to have a beautiful cement baptistry dug into the ground down below the spring so we can easily fill it with the spring water. And so that was our project for the last couple of days. You can go to the Facebook page, Jim Rau, facebook.com, Jim Rau, and look at some of the pictures of the Living Water Church, the Living Water Children's Home Project, the Living Water Shamba or Farm, as we call it. And you can look at those pictures on my Facebook page. And so help yourself to look at those. And thank you for doing that. Well, we're going to take up part two of Walking in the Spirit, or Walk in the Spirit. This passage of scripture is from Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, where Paul says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, for the flesh and the spirit are contrary or are in opposition to each other. And when you follow the flesh, you will not do the things that you wish." And so last week we looked at how prayer is the first leg in walking in the Spirit. Then there's two more legs that we're going to cover today, two more legs of the stool that we're going to cover today. And I look at these three legs as I see a three-legged stool. And you know, a three-legged stool is very stable. When you have all of the three legs in place and they all have their braces, it's very stable. And you can sit on there and not have any fear of falling over or being tipped over. But if you take one of the legs out, then the stool falls over easily and it becomes a dangerous stool. And so it is with the Christian walk, walking in the Spirit. When you have all three legs in place, those being prayer, Bible study, and fellowship, when you have all three of those in place, then you are in a very stable situation. If you incorporate each of those into your daily life, into your daily discipline as a Christian, into your daily walk, then you will be very stable. Nothing will rock you. The circumstances of life will not tip you over. They will not knock you down. And you can take many blows and you can keep going and be stable and be solid in your walk. So today we're going to look at study of God's Word and the fellowship of the saints. Well, study of God's Word, it goes without saying that if you study God's Word, if you start to really study God's Word every day, you read God's Word, and I don't mean just a little one scripture on a devotional page. I mean really start to read and study God's Word. Spend an hour a day reading and studying. If you do that on a regular basis, your life will be changed just like mine was. Your life will be transformed because when you study God's Word, it pierces into your heart and it changes you. It divides asunder the bones and the marrow, the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And this scripture says that the Word of God is living and powerful, or some of the translations say it is quick and active. It is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the Word of God is quick and powerful. It will pierce your heart. It will divide between your joints and your marrow and between the soul and your spirit. And it is a discerner. In other words, when you hold up the Word of God to your life, it's like holding up a mirror to your life. And it reflects the passions, it reflects the desires, it reflects the motives and the thoughts and intents of your heart. The Word of God is quick and it operates quickly and it operates in a powerful way in your life. And so if you will incorporate that into your life, a daily discipline, if you don't know where to start on reading God's Word, if you've never been a student of God's Word before, and maybe you have a Bible and you've never really delved into it before, I suggest you start in the New Testament with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, the story of Jesus' life here on this earth, the story of his miracles, the story of his ministry. Just start in the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then follow it with Acts, which is the actions of the apostles. The New Testament church was born in the book of Acts, and so if you read those five books, that's a great start to knowing God's Word. That's a great start to understanding God's Word, and then you can go on from there to Romans, which is the next book. That we call it the Constitution of the Christian Faith, and then the Epistles of Paul, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all those books are in the New Testament, and you can read them very easily. It's fourth grade reading level, very easy to comprehend. And so if you start reading those, and then you can go back into the Old Testament and read the book of Psalms, read the book of Proverbs. Every single person on the face of the earth should read the book of Proverbs. It's such practical wisdom and down-to-earth wisdom and teaching and instruction. Anybody can understand it. And so if you will do that, you can then start in Genesis and go to Exodus, read the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, read the story of Jacob and the formation of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so there's many, many fascinating and wonderful aspects to reading God's Word. But you have to pick up your Bible and spend time reading God's Word, and it will transform your life. It will change you from the inside out, and you will never be the same again. Well, Psalms 119, 105 tells us, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What does it mean? It means that when you are lost, when you are wandering around and you don't know which direction to go, you're maybe wandering around out in the wilderness like the children of Israel did for 40 years. Maybe you don't know which direction to go. You don't know to go to the right or to the left, or whether today where you are. When you start to read God's Word, it will give direction. It will shine a light on your path, and then you will have direction. You will have wisdom, and you have to have light on your path in this day of darkness. Beloved, the darkness is becoming darker. You don't know anything about the politics. You don't know anything about business. But when you start to read God's Word, He will illuminate wisdom for you. He will illuminate a direction and a path for you. And beloved, you will know where you're going. You will have prophetic words spoken over you. Prophecies will come to you out of God's Word. Prophecies will come from other people in the kingdom of God. Prophecies will come from preachers and anointed men and women of God. And so when you study God's Word, it shines a light on your path, and you can then know with sure steps where you are going in the path of God on that holy highway. Well, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul tells his beloved son Timothy, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." So those of you who have been involved in Awana over the years, you know that Awana stands for a workman who is not ashamed and rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we know that when you study God's Word, when you are diligent, Paul says, be diligent. In other words, persevere. It's not always easy to get up each day and study God's Word. There's a lot of days you don't want to do it, but discipline yourself to do it. Be diligent to do it. Persevere. Have patience. Persevere. It's not a quick dash. 50 yards in length and then it's all over. No, it's a race. It's a long run. And sometimes it takes 10, 20, 30, 40 years for things to unfold, for prophecies to come to pass, for understanding of certain passages of Scripture, for understanding God's plan for your life. It sometimes takes decades. And so it's not a quick thing. It's not something that's going to be here today and over tomorrow. It's going to be here today, and you have to persevere. You have to keep contending. You have to keep going into the Word. You have to keep studying over and over. And there's no point at which you can say, I understand everything about God's Word. That point will never come. But you keep studying and you keep reading and you keep hiding it in your heart. And beloved, that Word will lift you up in times of sorrow. That Word will encourage you in times of discouragement. That Word will give you hope in times of hopelessness. And so when you study God's Word, when you present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. You do not need to be ashamed of God's Word. There was a time in my life, and I'm sure we can all relate to this, when I was ashamed to carry a Bible around. I was ashamed to admit that I really loved Jesus Christ. I was ashamed to admit that I was a Christian. There was a dark period in my life when I didn't want to admit those things to other people because I was interested in walking with the devil and interested in the party life. And so if you're in that place, I pray for you today. I pray that the Lord will give you revelation today, that you will have a desire and a passion and a zeal for God's Word and a passion to study His Word so that you can rightly divide the Word of truth. One of the great chapters in the Bible regarding God's Word is Psalm 119. The whole chapter is about God's Word. The whole chapter is divided up into stanzas that have rhythm to them and they have sequence to them according to the Hebrew alphabet. And so it's a very complex chapter, but the whole chapter is devoted to discussion of God's Word. And Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." In other words, when you want to cleanse the impurities out of your life, when you want to stand before God with a pure heart and a clean heart, how can a young man cleanse his way? When you start reading God's word and you start to hide that word in your heart, beloved, it just crowds the darkness out of your heart. It crowds the darkness out of your life. You will start to feel purified. You will start to feel like you've been washed over with the pure blood of Jesus. And the word has that cleansing effect in your life. Well, verse 11, that same chapter, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so when you have that word hidden in your heart, when situations come into your life and it may be a temptation for you to sin, you have that word and you have the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to give you instruction, and you can then turn away from temptation. The Lord always gives a way out of temptation. He always gives a way for us to avoid that temptation and not succumb to it. And so when David said, "I have hidden the word in my heart that I might not sin against you," he was meaning that that word speaks to him in every situation in his life. Well, verse 12, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Verse 17, "Deal beautifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word." Well, we know David was a man after God's own heart. He stumbled seriously in one aspect of his life. He fell into an adulterous affair with a lady, a wife of one of his comrades out on the battlefield. And so David sinned, but he was restored back to the Lord, and he was, even in the end, he was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 119, verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. My soul," verse 28, "my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." Verse 38, "Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you." And verse 89 in Psalm 119, Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Well, what did he mean by that? Your word is settled in heaven. He meant your word, Lord, your word is spoken in heaven. Your word is made firm in heaven. Your word is established in heaven. Everything that you see happening with the kingdom of God here on this earth is a replica or a copy of things that are already happening in heaven, things that have already been established and made firm in heaven. And so we're just trying to create here on earth, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're trying to create here on earth those things that God has decreed and declared and established in heaven. And so that is our desire, that we would see heaven rebrought to earth. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 114, you are my hiding place and my shield, I hope in your word. Well, beloved, we know from John chapter 1 that the word was Jesus Christ. It says the word was with God and the word was God, and Jesus was with God from the beginning. And so Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the word. And when he was here on the earth, you could say the word was walking among us. Well, I think I've hammered on that enough for you to know that I believe that you should be reading the Bible. If you don't have a reading plan, you can call any church in town and they've got reading plans. You can go on the internet, Google reading plan, 1 year reading plan. Get a reading plan, start reading God's word, wear out your Bible, go find another one, and you will be blessed, you will be changed. Things will look different to you when you start to read God's word. Well, the last leg of walking in the Spirit is the fellowship, and beloved, it is very important. I know some would say, well, he has a radio broadcast, I can be in his church and just sit in my house and listen to the radio. Well, beloved, if you are incapacitated or you have physical disability and you cannot make it to church, I welcome you to call this your church. I welcome you to call this your fellowship. But if you are not physically unable to get to church, you need to find a church and you need to go every Sunday. You need to be there in a fellowship where people can see you, people can talk to you, people can encourage you and pray with you, people can strengthen you in your walk, and you can strengthen other people in their walk, because there's nothing that replaces face-to-face fellowship and hand-to-hand shaking and hand-to-hand fellowship and arm-to-arm and hug-to-hug fellowship. I believe in hugging your fellow believer and in laying hands on them and praying for them and blessing them. And so when you do that and you make that a discipline to be in a fellowship every week, your blessings then will also be coming to you through the fellowship. Well, one of the passages of Scripture, the Apostle Paul spoke in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, about the fellowship. He says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So he's saying that the fellowship stirs up love in us for each other, not just for people in the fellowship, but it also stirs up love for people in other countries, maybe people that we don't even know about. I know when I came to Africa, I didn't know even one single person here in Africa, not personally with any kind of a relationship with them. I didn't know even one single person, and there's over a billion people on this continent, but I've come here with the love of Jesus, and I've come to know many people here. I have many, many friends here in Africa. I love the people here. I love their desire to come to know the Lord Jesus. I even love the Muslims and the pagans and all of the people who don't know the Lord. And so Paul says, when you consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, when you have a desire and a passion to share the love of Jesus with people, it will stir you up to good works. You'll find yourself wanting to go on mission trips. You'll find yourself wanting to donate to help missionaries build churches and build children's homes and preach crusades and all kinds of other endeavors of the kingdom. And so you need to go to the fellowship and get in a good church and stir up somebody else and hope somebody can stir up you to love and good works. And then in verse 25, Hebrews 10, Paul says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as that you see the end day, or as you see the day approaching. He's speaking of the end day, or the day of Jesus' return. So he's saying, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Many people say, well, I can serve God, I can love God while I'm out there playing golf on Sunday morning, and I can love God while I'm fishing on Sunday morning, or I can love God when I'm at the ball game on Sunday or whatever. Yes, that may be true, you can love God, but that is not the fellowship, that is not the plan that God has for you to join with the saints and to assemble together, to exhort or to encourage one another. And he says, even so much more so as the end day approaches. What does he mean by that? He means that as the end day approaches, it's going to be a temptation for people to drop away from the fellowship. We're already seeing this all over America, that the decline in church attendance, especially among the younger people, is becoming a very dramatic decline. People drop their faith, many of them, when they're in college or when they get out of high school. They drop away from their faith and they drop away from their fellowship. Paul says the temptation to do this is going to be even greater as the end day approaches. Well, David spoke another scripture in Psalm 133, verse 1, about the fellowship. He says, beloved, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Beloved, when you meet together, the Lord is going to command blessings for you there. There will be angels gathering among you. There will be other saints to encourage and exhort you. And David is saying, beloved, how great and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, when you meet your brother and sister in the fellowship every week, it's very difficult for you to speak against them. It's very difficult for you to slander them. You see their face. They see your face. You smile at them. You give them some encouragement. You pat them on the back or shake their hand, and you will go to bat for that person. You will speak well of that person, and you will be blessed. And there the Lord will command the blessings on you and on the fellowship, life forevermore. Well, I'm going to close with a scripture from the book of Acts, and this is a description of the New Testament church right after the day of Pentecost. And this is a description that Luke talks about as he was a witness to the birthing of the New Testament church. And in verse 42, he says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And so he says that early church, the New Testament believers, they had four things that were a hallmark or a trademark of their meetings together. And they continued steadfastly in, number one, the apostles' doctrine, two, their fellowship, three, the breaking of bread, that is the communion, and four, the prayers for each other and for the other saints. And so that should be a picture of our New Testament church. And beloved, if you don't know that New Testament church, if you are not a participant in a fellowship, I urge you to do that. Get a hold of a pastor somewhere. Talk to your friends who go to church. Find out what church would be good for you and go and be there every Sunday. Make a commitment to go. Make a commitment to get involved, to stir up your life for good works and for love for the other saints and for those who are lost. Well, Beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I invite you to participate, to support this ministry. I invite you to pray. Let us know you're listening. Drop us a line. Include a check, and you will be blessed. I thank you for listening today. If you will stay tuned, we'll have contact information for you in this ministry. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.